Shiur today is Le'ili Nishmas, Sarita Bas, Chaim Menachem Mendel. The Hashem should have an Aliyah.
Amen.
It's been a long time since I was here, the home of my friends, my old neighbors, Lori and Freddie. And I was asked to speak or cover the yard site of Sarita, which I remember as a little girl running on the block. The need of a yard site. A yard site is a Yom HaZikaron. It's a day to remember. It's a time to remember. Memory is a very big sugya. That subject of remembering, of Zikaron, it's a very, very big sugya in Torah. And it's the Nekuda HaPnimis, it's the inner point of Chanukah. Since the whole Rotzen, the whole desire of Malchus Yovan, of that kingdom of Yovan of Greece, the whole Rotzen, the whole Tachlis, the whole objective of Malchus Yovan was Kishomda Malchus Yovan Rasha Al Amchi Yisrael Lahashkicham Teresach. Yovan existed to cause us to forget. Yovan's existence was to bring forgetfulness into the life of the Jewish people. Hashkicham teresach. To cause us to forget the Torah means to cause us to forget who we are. To cause a lapse of memory. Shikcha. And therefore we know that already from the beginning of time, Choshech al pnei sahayim, the four kingdoms are alluded to in the beginning of the Torah, and that emptiness before creation, Choshech, as you all know, darkness, is Yavan. Chazal say, Chazal identify Choshech, darkness, is Yavan. We know Yavan Hechshicha, a name she Yisrael, that brought darkness to our eyes. And Choshech is the letters, Shachalach, to forget. The darkness of forgetting is what Yavan is all about. And that means that the Nitzach and the victory of Chanukah is the victory of remembrance, of memory, of Zikaron over the darkness of Shikcha, of forgetting. Let me explain. There's a remarkable Gemara in the Sugya in the Gemara Shabbos Chaf Aleph. The sugi of Chanukah. The Gemara is telling us the time that we have to light the candles. And it tells us from when, Mishatishka Chama, from sunset. But then the Soivzman of the ideal time to light, the Gemara brings a very odd thing. The Gemara says, Av Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk. It's an interesting way of measuring time. The Gemara doesn't give a specific time. It says, until there are no longer people who are walking in the market. The malls are empty, the streets are empty. Now they're 24 hours. I don't know if there would never be an end to Hanukkah candles. Maybe that's good. But means till all the reglaim, until people are no longer walking back and forth in the shuk, in the market. But then the Gemara says, V'ad kama. So how do you measure that? What does that mean? Achetich l'regel min hashuk. Omer Rabba Bar Bachon, Rabbi Yochanan, and here's the remarkable thing. Ad dekal yerigla de tarmadoi. Ad dekal yerigla de tarmadoi means that there were these people who were called the Tarmudim. Tarmudoi. What the origin is of those people, who they are exactly, is not clear. Rashi says that the Tarmadoi is a Shem Uma. There was a certain nationality, some people. And that these people were Malakde Eitzim Dakim. What they did for a living was they used to gather twigs and sticks for fire. Umas Akvin Beshuk, and these were the last people who were in the marketplace. They would remain after all the stores had closed, all the shops were finished for the day. These Talmudim, these people would remain in the shuk, selling their little twigs. And all the Bnei HaShuk, all of the business people, and all of the shoppers had already gone home, and they had already gone to eat and to light the candles that they needed for the evening. But there were always some people, it's invariable, there were always some people who would forget or didn't have the twigs, the trees, the wood that they needed for lighting the fire for supper and for the candles, to have light in the house. So they knew that they would go back to the marketplace, and after everyone had already left and it was already dark, there was still this chevra, these people, the Talmudim. The Talmudim would stick around till very, very late. So the people who had forgotten to buy the wood that they needed would be able to go back and find the Talmudim still selling their wares, selling the sticks. So this is the time that the Gemara gives for lighting Chanukah candles. The streets are empty. The market has been deserted. The stores are shuttered closed. And there are a couple of strange, mysterious people called Talmudim who are still there for the people who had forgotten to buy all the wood that they need. As long as those Talmudim are hanging around in the shuk, it's time to light Chanukah candles. It's impossible to learn that Gemara without sensing that there's something much, much, much deeper that's going on. But that's the Shiur of Chanukah, the time of Chanukah candles. The Talmudim, who are these Talmudim? There's all types of speculation, much is written in the Kabbalah Sfarim. We have to try to understand on a simple level. To begin, we need to understand what does it mean to remember. Listen carefully, because really I would need a few hours for this, and I know that there's a shear of Zman here also. When does a person remember something? You know, one of the most hurtful things in the world is when you're forgotten, yeah? There are people here, I hope there's no one here that hasn't been able to completely forget the time that maybe a husband forgot a birthday or an anniversary. And even though the husband will say, I was working with last year's calendar, I go by the Chinese calendar, I go by the Hebrew date, I go by the Persian date, but the wife is just shaking her head and says, you know, you forgot. You forgot. It hurts to be forgotten. When does a person remember? And when we understand that, we realize, of course, why does it hurt so much to be forgotten? Because we're not talking about stam, Dvarim ba'alma, to remember a statistic, or to remember Narishkeit. You remember, you forget, it's not such a big nafkimi. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about remembering something that's important. That you say, that you believe, is something very important. We know when a person remembers, it's clear that when something is toifes, when something occupies a deep part of who you are, in your mind and in your heart, to the point that you feel that it's mamish nageya to the chiyus of who you are, it touches upon the very essence of your life, then you remember that. The person doesn't forget to eat. Person doesn't forget to sleep. You don't forget your child's name. When something is nageya to the chiyus that my life depends on, and it touches me in the deepest part of who I am, in that world there is no shikha, there is no forgetting. We just read this Peh Shabbos. Vayimoyin lehisnachem. You know what that's about. Yaakov Avinu refused to be consoled. He refused to be comforted. Now, if you look in the Rechaim HaKadosh in the Sforno, the Mefarshim tell us that all the Bnei HaMishpacha came there. All the wives and the children, all the Einiglich, everybody came over there for the single purpose to give comfort to Yaakov Avinu because Yosef HaTzadik was supposedly killed. But the truth was, Oy Yosef Chai, that the fire of Yosef HaTzadik, where he was in the world, Yaakov didn't know, but the fire of Yosef HaTzadik was burning in the heart of the bereaved father to the Nekudas HaNefesh of who Yaakov was. And therefore, even though it says, Vayekumu Kolban of V'chol B'nois of L'Nachamai, the Rechaim HaKadosh says that all of the children came as if to say, Father, Abba, Zaidi, look, you have so much to be grateful for. Look at all the children you have. Look at the beautiful mishpacha you have. So there's one child that's not here. No. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. But there's so much to compensate for the tragedy. Any parent who's ever, God forbid, lost a child knows that it would make no difference if you lined up the entire Klal Yisrael. And it would make no difference, I shouldn't say it makes no difference, but the Nechama, to say that, look, Yosef HaTzadik is not here, but you have Kenai Nahara, a big family, and there's so much to be proud of, you could have 100 pictures on the wall of all the children who are alive and well. But as long as there's that one child whose picture is the picture of someone who's no longer with you, then that's the picture you keep on taking out from the drawer. That's the picture you keep on going back to. And vayimoin l'hisnachin. Yaakov refused to be comforted. Yaakov was saying, I can't forget. Oy Yosef Chai. But my child is alive inside of me. I don't know if he's alive, where he is. You know, Chazal, he knew, he didn't. But Oid Yosef Chai, inside of me, inside of the father, Yosef HaTzadik was alive. And as long as something touches that point of who you are, for Yaakov, and El told us Yaakov Yosef is his whole life, his Ben Zakunim. He wasn't a name, he wasn't a statistic, he wasn't a fact, it was his chiz. Hashem HaShemesh wants us to remember him in that way too. Kel Chai B'Kirbein. Hashem HaShemesh is Chai, alive. When something touches that part of you, that you feel that your life depends on that life, you don't forget. You can't forget. And the truth is, when we come to that world of remembering and forgetting, and we look back at what the Yevanim wanted to do, of what that war was all about, Chanukah is all about. We said, La'ashkichem teresecha. K'shom demalchus Yevan ha'ashalam chisol, La'ashkichem teresecha. Let's talk for a moment about forgetting Torah. Lashkichem, we're talking about remembering and forgetting. You remember when something is the chiyus of who you are, you remember it. If it's not, you forget it. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you all know, the Mishnah says a scary thing. Kol shachach davar echad mimishnasai. If a person forgets one thing that he learned, kol shachach davar echad mimishnasai. The Mishnah says, "Malo v'kosov ki'ilu mischay v'nafshay." It's ki'ilu. It's considered as if he's worthy of being killed. It's a scary thing. Kol shachach doesn't apply to women. Kol shachach only if you chay v'talmud Torah. But kol shachach, what the Mishnah says, kol shachach davar echad mimishnasai, on a deeper level, it applies to all of us. Kol shachach davar echad mimishnasai. The Mishnah says, if you forget one thing that you learn, it's considered as if you're worthy of a person who should be put to death. And the Mishnah says, where do we get this from? Shenemar says, by Marmon HaSinai, Rak Yishor Melucha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'ayit. Be careful. And guard your soul, guard your life. Shmor Nafshecha Ma'ayit. Pen Tishka Chesadvarm Asheru Einecha. Guard your life. Shmor Nafshecha. That you shouldn't forget what you saw at Har Sinai and what you heard at Har Sinai. So from there, the Tan of the Mishnah learns, from Maimon HaSinai, from Matan Torah, the Tan of the Mishnah learns that if you forget what happened at Har Sinai, meaning, on a deeper level, if you forget something that you've learned, it means that what you've learned has not penetrated to the essence of who you are. Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od means guard your soul. If Torah would be your soul, if Torah would be in that place of who you are, you wouldn't forget it. There are many, many people who learn because they're obligated to learn. Right now, another day of yeshiva has started. I'm assuming, I don't know if the yeshivas are off. I mean, Hanukkah, all the shmuzim in the yeshivas about Hanukkah is the victory of Torah, Torah Shval Peh, but then they give off. So I'm assuming the yeshivas are on. So, there are, right now, thousands and thousands who are sitting in yeshiva and learning. Why is each person, why is each child, why is each younger man, why the bachram, why are they there? For all different reasons. Could be mostly, for one, it could be because if I don't go, I'll be in trouble. I'll be in trouble. The other one is because I know I'm a Jew, and a Jew is obligated to learn. And that's wonderful. That's good. But even though the person is there because he's obligated to learn, or it could be another person is there because he made some commitment long ago, or he made a commitment to his wife or to his father-in-law, or he made a commitment to himself, whatever it might be. But he's compelled to go to yeshiva and to sit and to learn Torah because of some obligation. That person is certainly fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But how much of his learning is going to remain? How much will he remember? It's questionable. Because if your entire motivation for going to learn is some external matter, something outside of yourself is compelling you to go. They don't have truant offices anymore. I don't even know if they had them when I was a kid, but we used to hear about them a lot. That if you don't go to school, they're going to come get you. Right? They're going to take you away. You're going to get in trouble, go to jail. So, that's something that could motivate a child. or you could say, you know, if you go to school for 30 days in a row or 40 days in a row, like saying Shir Shirim 40 days, if you go to school 40 days in a row, we're going to get you this toy, we're going to get you this and that. Just say it. And as the children grow up, the toys become more expensive, more sophisticated. There are some people who are learning to get a toy, a very nice, attractive, wealthy young lady. That could also be a toy. There are different things that motivate people to sit and learn. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is, ki heim chayenu v'arech yemenu. We want to know who is that person who's going to retain in the deepest way what he learned. We're not discussing brain cells. We're talking about heart cells. Shmor nafshecha ma'od. The Baruch Shalom said, I gave you the Torah. This is not a book of statistics, of facts. It's not information. I gave you my soul. Anon nafshis, ksovis, yehovis, the Bereshim, I gave you myself. And I gave you myself so that it should penetrate into the essence of who you are. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, ki hein chayenu, or in the words of Chazal, kol ha-perish min ha-tarik, ha-perish min ha-chayim, that I gave you myself, and I want you to feel that when it comes to Torah, every drop of Torah is life. Is life. And call a parish min ha-tarek, a parish min ha-chayim. And the person who runs away from Torah, the person who's neglectful of Torah, is ignoring the essence of life. And when it comes to the essence of life, a person doesn't forget. You don't forget your child because your child is your life. You don't forget to eat or to sleep, it's your life. And therefore, when it says by Maimon HaSinai, Yom HaZeri'inu, Ki yedaber lokim es adam v'chai. You all know these psukim from Maimon HaSinai. It says in Torah, Hayom hazera'inu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, today we saw ki yedaber lokim es adam v'chai, that Hashem speaks to a human being v'chai, and the person can live. So the simple pshat is that even the God spoke to us, we're still alive. That's the simple pshat. We survive. But the Sifrei Chassidus learns something else here. The Swami Relation teaches us that the deeper meaning here is Hayem Ezarinu. Today, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we saw, Ki Yadarbu Lekim Es Adam V'Chai, that the life of a human being depends on hearing God. Ki Yadarbu Lekim Es Adam V'Chai, that all of man's life, all that we are, depends on that. Meaning, there are two ways you can learn Torah. As something extra, as something outside of yourself. Or you can learn Torah with that feeling that it's who I am. And the oimik, the deepest way to learn Torah, the way that you remember Torah, is with that feeling that if I don't learn, I can't live. I can't live without Torah. Ki hem chayenu. And that is the meaning of the Mishnah. If you forgot what you learned, it doesn't mean you can't remember a certain particular diktuk or diuk, but if you forget your Torah, if there's a person who goes to work, and while he's at work, he doesn't live with the Torah that he learned, with the dafyoni that he learned in the morning, or with whatever else he was learning, if we forget our learning, then the Baruch Shalom says you can make up any excuses you like that, like that embarrassed husband who forgot their anniversary. Or if you forgot your child's birthday. If you forgot those dates, you can make up any excuse in the world. But the person who you've forgotten knows that if my existence would reach into the chiyus of who you are, if you would feel that your life is bound to my life, you wouldn't have forgotten. You wouldn't have forgotten. You forgot our anniversary. No, I'm Michael, but it hurts. How could you forget? Because if you forgot, it means, if you forget one thing, you forgot one thing, you forgot me. That means that I occupy a certain place in your life, but I don't occupy your life. And I wanted to think, I was hoping that I occupied the essence of who you are. Apparently I don't. And with all the excuses and all the explanations, it takes some time to get over that thing. And we can understand this with a simple mashal. There's a very big difference. If there's a business, let's imagine there's a big business. And that business, there are many, many employees who work there. And there's also one balabas. There's an employer, the owner of the business. And we know that even if the employees are good, hardworking, and faithful people, they show up on time, they work hard, they care for the boss, it's good. Everybody knows you can't compare the employee to the employer. And one of the signs of the difference is that the employer, the owner of the business, is always coming up with chidushim, new ideas of how to improve the business, of how to build the business, of how to bring in new customers, new clients. And even though the employees can be as smart, even smarter than the boss, there's a big chilik. What's the chilik? The chilik is that for the boss, ki heim chayenu varech yameinu, the employee gets the same check at the end. He goes to work. There's something outside of himself that's motivating him to go to work, that brings him to work. He's a good worker. He clocks in on time. He stays. He works hard. He leaves. He gets a check every 2 weeks. But sof kol sof, he doesn't feel that the success or the existence of that business touches his life. It's a job. And he works. But when it comes to the boss, why does the boss have chidushim, new ideas, coming up with new ideas of how to improve the business? The answer is, kiyem chayenu. Because that business is his baby. People even say such a thing when it comes to physical things. People say that about their car, that's my baby. They say it about their pet, that's my baby. They say it about their company, that's my baby. Meaning, I put my koiches into this. For the employee, for the worker, if this business doesn't work out, you get another. He likes the boss, he's sorry, you get another job. As long as he can get his last check, he's fine. But for the balabas, for the owner, for the boss, it touches his chiyus. He put all of his koiches into this. And if something goes wrong with the business, vayimoyin lesnachim. He can't be consoled. Therefore, because it touches that part of him, he remembers the business. Not only does he remember it, but he can't stop thinking about it, even when it comes to Shabbos. The only times I've had people have told me that there's a real struggle that when they come to shul Friday night to get the week out of their head. With the Hilchos Baal Shem Tov, one of the things that the Baal Shem Tov made was that Jews have the custom, the Chassidim have the custom to be fireful Friday night. And the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, because they should know that whatever happened during the week, it's fafalim. Not to think about it. And it's very hard. It's very hard not to think about it. The employee doesn't have that problem. When he leaves the place, when he leaves work, the employee leaves the work, he gets his check, he's off. I'm a chai. Oh, the boss, the slitting cup, it lingers in his mind because it's his chiyas. It lingers in his mind. If God forbid something's wrong with one of the children, you can't concentrate the rest of the day. Everybody here knows what that's about. If whoever's been zoichet to have children, grandchildren, from the time that you had that child, you're never ever the rest of your life free from thoughts. It's your chiyas. You're the balabas. You put everything into that. Mimeli, you come up with chidushim, new things that I could do for my child. New ways of helping my child. New ways, l'havdol, to build my business. Because my chiyus. I remember it. I think about it. And here's where we reach the essence of Chanukah and memory and the inyan of the earth side. What did the Greeks want? What's Chanukah? What did they want? What were they trying to take away from us? You know, when it says Lashkicham Teresach, it doesn't even mean that they were trying to take away from us our learning. We don't find that they were burning Svarim like the Germans Yamach Shamam and others had done. We don't find that the Greeks necessarily were shutting down yeshivas, closing yeshivas. Don't find. What's the Indian of Shikh of Lashkicham Teresach? Lashkicham Teresach means the following. Go to yeshiva and learn Torah. But don't feel that feeling that your life depends on it. It's a very subtle thing. You hear the difference, right? It doesn't mean to shut down the yeshiva. It means that a person can go to yeshiva his whole life. Listen, he can go to yeshiva his whole life, and then when he goes to business, he could be, God forbid, a Welts Ganef. And they could take him, or he could have his picture in the newspaper the next day in handcuffs, dragging him off to jail because he's a ganav. Whether he stole from Jews or he loudly stole from Goyim, he's a ganav. How did that happen? If you test him, you find out that he's a baki. He knows Bav Metzir, he knows Bav Vashem, he knows Bav Kam, he knows Brachas, he knows Ksubas, he knows Yevamas. He knows all the sugyas of Gezel Akam that says you can't steal from Goyim. So why is he being dragged off in a paddy wagon? And why is there a Chilul Hashem? How could that be? He knows so much learning. And only that, if you test him, he can spit back the Gemaras, and he knows the Chesh Mishpat, and he'll tell you the halachas. Gezalakum, stealing. So what happened to the guy? Why is he now in jail? The Torah says, you can learn Torah, but it doesn't seep into the essence of who you are, and you forget it. Forgetting doesn't mean intellectually forgetting, you understand? You become detached and disconnected. It has no bearing upon the essence of your life. It's irrelevant to who you are. There are many, many people who learn Torah that way, as a subject. As something that's interesting, something that's fascinating. But as far as how do they conduct themselves at home, how do they conduct themselves at work, has no connection to all the Torah that they've been learning. The Torah seems to be completely irrelevant in their lives. I once mentioned, I don't think to the Chavri here, but in Shul I mentioned that some years ago, there was, I read in an article that there was a mice that happened in the yeshiva. The boys, one boy, let's call Reuven and Shimon. Reuven lent his tape recorder to Shimon. And Shimon broke the Teva Kuna. So he fell down, something happened, he broke the Teva Kuna. So the boys were having a fight. Reuven says, you have to pay me for the Teva Kuna. Shimon says it was an accident. They went to the Rebbe. They're good boys. They went to the Rebbe and they asked Rebbe, what do we do? So the Rebbe said, let's go to the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva, Rebbe Reuven Feinstein's all goes on Zion. In Staten Island, they went to Rebbe Reuven and they asked Rebbe Reuven. The boys came and they said, it's my Teva Kuna, I lent it to him. And he said, so Rebbe Reuven asked, what do you think the halach is? Reuven was astonished. Because the whole year long, the boys were learning the Gemara that was teaching these things. And the basis of the entire Gemara is, because the boy said it was an accident. Rebbe, it was an accident. But the Gemara says that if somebody lends you something, you didn't rent it, you didn't buy it, somebody lent you something, you chayav ba'insim. Even if it's an accident, you have to pay. Reuven was beside himself. How could it be that every day, all morning long, till 3 p.m, all the Rebbe's writing on the blackboard is what? Is that even if it's an accident, if you borrowed something, you have to pay. And how could they be having a tumult about this? And he went to his father. At that time, the great Rosh Hashiva was alive. Rav Moshe Zechasad of the Kodesh Levracha was alive. And Reuven went to his father and said, I don't understand. What are we doing in yeshiva? So Rav Moshe said to his son, you have to realize, it's Rachman, it has no relevance to them. They learn it like it's a subject, like you would learn science or math. Like one of the great philosophers that he taught about ethics, and that his students pointed out that he, once this professor was boasting about how immoral he was and how unfaithful he was to his wife, and this, one of the students asked, I don't understand, all you ever write about and teach about is ethics. So his answer to that was Einstein a triangle? Meaning, Einstein taught math. That doesn't mean that Einstein became a mathematical equation. I teach decency and ethics. That doesn't mean that I'm ethical and decent. The disconnection between what a person learns and who a person is the most frightening symptom of our sickness in this generation, where there has never been before as much learning and as little connection to what's being learned. How irrelevant the learning has become to people, that as much as they know, doesn't seem to have that much bearing on their lives. This is the accomplishment. This is from the pulmis of Yavin. This is the limping of the Jewish people. We were victorious over Yavin, but we're still limping. We were injured. Because Yavin means not to take away from you the sefer, not to take away from you the yeshiva. Yavin means to take away from you that feeling, ki hem chayenu. I was raised in a home where to my parents, my sister and I, there were two of us, we felt every minute of our lives, and I still do, that we are the essence of my parents' life. We're not a sideshow. We're not some annoying thing that gets in the way of my aerobics or gets in the way of my television schedule. When my father's Al Gazun Zayn, I remember that, and my mother would get sometimes annoyed. My father said that if anything, he was in work in the store all day. If anything is worrying you, if there's anything you mind, you call me. Don't worry. Anytime. And I remember one time I was very upset about something in yeshiva, in school, and I called my father. It was in the middle of the day. And I didn't know this, but my father said, hold on for a second. And my mother told me later on that daddy asked all of the customers to leave the store, and he locked the door of the store. In the middle of the day. He didn't tell me that. And I spoke to my father for over an hour. And then when my mother told me, my mother said to me something like, you know, can't you find a different kind of thing? Maybe you could call daddy, you know. You couldn't wait till supper or something. You have to, like, 12 o'clock. So I apologized to my father. And my father said, what are you talking about? My father said, customers, business. My father said, it's my Leben. My living is you. That's my living. That's my heart, is you. You know what a lesson that was for me? You know how much I cry that I don't think I've been able to give that over to my children, that feeling that they're my life? What the Greeks caused, how they hurt us. Take away that feeling that Torah is yachiyus. You forget the Torah that you learned. Yeah, you remember, you're smart, you have a good memory. That's not what it means to remember. Because you're smart. And you can say something over. You remember your children's names. A husband remembers his wife when he goes to work. If he would really, really remember, he would never, ever once lift his eyes up to look at anybody else. That's what it means, achiyas. Many times situations come up, someone turns out that the wife found out that the husband was looking at the computer things, Hashem Yirachem. And the husband says, no, but I really do love you. I really do love you. She says, but how can you look at such things? If you, I really do love you, but she understands there's a stira. He's not admitting it. There's a paradox. Something's wrong. Remembering doesn't just mean that you know my name. Remembering doesn't just mean you know that I exist, or that you could spit back that word, I love, those words, I love you. Remembering means you don't forget me because I am the chiyus of who you are. Yavan wanted to take that away from us. You could be parents, but not kihem chayenu parents, you understand? Parents, so good. It's nice to have children, it's fun. It makes you feel good. They can do stuff that you didn't do. They can not do things that you did and you didn't want to do. A lot of things. Kids are good for a lot of stuff. Kihem chayenu, a husband and a wife to get married, it's a lot of fun, it's nice. But that feeling of kihem chayenu, and the remembering that comes with kihem chayenu, every second to live, that's what the Yevanim were trying to take away from us. All of that is hidden in the words Lashkif and Parasaha. You can learn Torah, but with a coldness. It's irrelevant. You could be a husband, you could be a wife. A coldness. Parents, cold. Now let's return. I have to go now very fast. Very, very fast. Let's go back to the Talmudim. You remember those strange people in the marketplace? Right? I guess you were wondering, so maybe I forgot. The Talmudim, these strange people in the marketplace. What's going on with them? And let's understand on the deepest level, why is it that we dafke light Hanukkah candles at that time, when those who have forgotten come back and they find some people who haven't left when everybody else has forgotten. We just said in Davening, in Halal, as Halach l'fnei Hashem ba'at soyis ha'chaim. David Melch said, I walk before Hashem ba'at soyis ha'chaim in the land of the living. One of the explanations of that Chazal say, Arts soyis ha'chaim means the shvokim, the marketplaces. And David Melch was saying, even when I'm going in the Arts soyis ha'chaim, even when I'm in the, at work, I'm in the business place, even when I'm in the shuk, in the market, it's very, very, very busy, and everybody's preoccupied with so many things, with work. Dan Malch was saying, as halach lefnei Hashem ba'artzois hachayim. This whole world is called artzois hachayim, according to that chazal. It's a busy marketplace. And it's easy to forget in the marketplace. You get very, very busy. And Dan Malch was saying, even when I'm in the Arts HaSachayim, even when there are many, many things that could take away my thoughts of God, I still remember you. I walk in your presence. Now, the Gemara is telling us that the day has ended. Let's go to that time of Hanukkah candles. The day has ended. And remember, in the old days, once it got dark, that was it. Business was finished, right? So, the Gemara is telling us, it's the end of the day, the sun has set, the stores are closed, the Arts HaSachayim, the marketplace of life, has emptied out. And even in the shuk, even in the marketplace, where it's the last place where people are lingering for last minute buys, it's closed. It's quiet. It's as quiet as a cemetery. That's how it is in the marketplace right now. It's as quiet as a base crows. And yet, there are some strange, mysterious people who are called the Talmudim, and there's a lot even in that name. The word Talmudim has the letters Tardema, which means sleep. There are some people there, a few mysterious people, who are still alive, right? They're still alive in that dead market. They're still alive. That little trace of life is called in the language of Chazal, kusta de chiyusa. Kusta or kista de chiyusa means, you know that even after a person has died, there remains something in a part of his body. That's where Himalava Malka. There's a little bit of life, a tiny, tiny trace of life that's left. A kusta de chiyusa. People don't know about it. People, only God knows that. There's a little bit of life. Uminoisar kankanim, nasenes lashay shamim. The entire Beis HaMikdash was defiled. The place was a wreck. And everything was tamei. The Atzis HaChaim of the Beis HaMikdash was shut, was closed, was dark. Our enemies had infiltrated. Everything was ruined. But there was one little jar, one trace of life left in the Beis HaMikdash. Uminoisar kankanim. From the leftover jar, there was a leftover jar. Nasenes lashay shamim. So even though everybody had left the market and everything was closed and the stores were shut and it was dark, the Talmudim was still there. And then there would be people, this is the time of Chanukah candles, there were people who went and they forgot. They went home and they realized, oy vey, it's getting dark and I don't have enough wood for the fire, for the candles. And they were saying, oy vey, but the market is already closed. Everything's already finished. But someone says, no. Go, because there's still the Talmudim. The Talmudim are there, even where it looks like everything is finished, even though it looks like everything's been forgotten, even though it looks like it's a cemetery and there's only death and there's no life in the marketplace. There is still the presence of those Talmudim. There is somehow that presence of life that lingers beyond death, beyond darkness, when everything is closed and there's no possible way that I could ever ignite a fire. And it's exactly that time, Chazal say, is the Zman Hadlokas Nes Chanukah. That's the time to light Chanukah candles. We understand that the Inyan of Yovan is death is final and absolute. Forget it. There is no such thing as Kihem Chayenu. The life can be sucked out to the point that there's no memory at all. A total detachment, a total disconnection. And the Talmudim stay there in that marketplace after everything is closed and dark, and they say, Vayimoyin le'esnachi. We're still alive. Oy Yosef Chai. And that's the point of igniting the Chanukah candle in the Milchama against Yovan, against Greece and forgetfulness. Preserving life and preserving memory, where everything is fighting against life and memory. Yosef HaTzadik, now we're in the parashiyos of Yosef HaTzadik. I'll be mekatzer. We're in the parashiyos of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik brought food to, he devised a plan where food would be brought to give life to the entire population, where otherwise the population would have been left for death. They would have died. And Yosef HaTzadik remembered. And he brought the chef of the Tzadik, Oid Yosef Chai. What's the meaning of Oid Yosef Chai? The Tzadik brings life to the person who feels that he can't go on living. Oid Yosef Chai means that when the Egyptians are going to die, when there's no food, Yosef HaTzadik says, Rabbi Yisai, and he opens up the storehouse and he says, Ich Yedem, I remember, and I'm going to take care of you. That's what every tzaddik does. That's what a parent does. A child goes out into the world and he feels he's dying. He's lonely, he's afraid of something, he's upset. When he gets off the school bus and he goes into his house, he has to walk into the house to his mother and to feel, Ay, ki heim chayenu, echlepnach. I'm still alive. Ay, Yosef Chai. I can go on living. More than go on living. I felt like I was dead, and this woman brought me back to life. That's what a tzaddik does, to bring us back to life. Chanukah means where the Yevonim was snuffing out memory, that feeling of connection, that kihem chayenu. Yosef at tzaddik, remember where Yosef, he has a son. What's the name of the first son? No? Menashe. What does Menashe mean? Noshan Milki means to forget, means to be dislodged. When something is knocked out of your mind, that's Menashe. It's Nashtani Lakim. I went into Mitzrayim. You know what Mitzrayim is? Mitzrayim is a place of forgetting. Mitzrayim is a place of forgetting of death. The Egyptians worshipped death. That was their Avodah Zarah, death. It's a place of dying. It's a place of death. And in that place where I could have died, the place of Menashe, of Nashani Elikim, you know what Hashem did for me? He gave me back my soul. Hifrani Elikim Be'efrani. Hifrani Elikim Be'eretz Onya. He brought me back to life. He's Mechai Yemeis, the merciful, gave me back. Oid Yosef Chai. Oid Yosef Chai. And that's why it says there, V'nishkach kol ha-soiva Be'eretz Mitzrayim. When it was a famine, all of the good years were forgotten. Doesn't that happen to us every day? When you go through a hardship during the day, all the good of life you forget. When you're going through a famine, you forget all the shnois ha-soiva. And the tzaddik comes and reminds you, don't forget kindlech, don't forget. There's so many good things. The tzaddik brings us back to life. A mother, a father brings you back to life. A good friend, the Rebbe, brings you back to life when you're going to forget that there's so much good in the shnas, in the shnois harav. When it's the famine, when it's the moments of famine in life, you forget the soiva, you forget that it was good. Yosef HaTzadik was forgotten, and he was in that dungeon, and he was in that miserable place. And in that place he remembered his father, he saw an image of his father. And that gave him the koyach to be able to turn away from tumah, from the impurity of the wife of Potiphar. The reason that Yosef HaTzadik is able to interpret dreams is because everybody knows that sleep is 1/60th of death. And we forget our dreams. Most of our dreams we don't remember, but the Tzadik remembers and interprets dreams. It means restoring memory. Bringing back memory. Helping a person live with a memory. So Yosef is able to interpret dreams. The cholam. The tzaddikim, some of tzaddikim, other tzaddikim say that Yosef is the poiser chalomos. He's the one who interprets poiser, is the same letter as the word tofer. What does it mean, tofer? So, to weave together. The yevonim take apart. To forget. Remembering is when something is rejoined with your thoughts and your feelings. Yosef HaTzadik is the poiser chalomos. He's the one who weaves together. He's the one that remembers in the place of forgetting. And now we come to the end and to the union of Yard Site. And there should be a schus for Sarita La Shalom. We daven every single day in Shemin Esrei. Mechaye Mesim Birachamim Rabim. Mechaye Mesim Birachamim Rabim. Hashem, we believe in you. You bring back the dead to life. Birachamim Rabim. With great compassion. It's not enough to say rachamim, right? It's mechayim esim, rachamim rabim. For that you need rachamim rabim. Why do you need rachamim rabim for that? Why isn't it enough that Hashem brings back the dead with compassion? Why does it say mechayim esim, rachamim rabim? Why does it have to be rachamim rabim? Great compassion. Extra compassion. Rachamim rabim is rachamim. What says Birachamim Rabim? Because listen, and everybody knows the answer to that question. The Gzeira of Misa, the Gzeira of death, is the most horrible Gzeiras of all. Because the Gzeira of, what's most horrible about the Gzeira, that decree of death, is that it feels so final. It feels complete and final. It's when, as long as that person was alive, even if the person was deathly ill, everybody is screaming and davening and crying and begging Hashem to have rachmanis. And even a regular person has rachmim on someone who's not well. And even the doctors say, no, we don't know apiteva, we don't know how to save this person. But the tehillim groups go on. And we keep on davening. But once Misa takes place, even David Melech said, when the son that he had, because of the Uri Achiti's wife, the Mais. So even David HaMelech said, Va'ata Mais, Lama Zanitzom, Ha'uchal Hashiva Yoy. Even David HaMelech, the biggest Davin who ever lived, David HaMelech, right? after the child died, until the child died, Dor HaMelech was fasting and davening. Could we imagine Dor HaMelech davening? Until the child died. Once the child died, then Dor HaMelech said, at this point, Va'atameis, Loma Zanitzam, Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, Peregid Beis, Va'atameis, Loma Zanitzam, what's the point of fasting? Ha'uchal la'ashiva od, can I bring this child back anymore? With all the tilim in the world, and all the fasting in the world, there's this feeling that I can't bring this child back. So why does it need rachamim rabim? Why rachamim rabim? Because people, normal human beings, once the person leaves the world, they stop davening. Why? Why do we stop davening? Why don't we daven for Tchias HaMeisim? Why, after someone that we love passes away, why don't we have a Tehillim rally and get together all the Amen groups and get together and daven? Don't let them take that body away from the hospital. We'll all daven that the person should get up from the bed. We don't. Why not? Why don't we daven for that? Because we understand the nature of a person to feel that that gzeirah is final. Oh, it's final. And a human being no longer has rachmanis. Of course we feel bad for the family, but everybody after shiva goes their way. And fatih, what does it mean? Except the parents. What does it mean? It means that you know that the body doesn't feel anything anymore because the person's dead. So the body doesn't sense anything. So there's no rachmanis in the body, right? But the body doesn't feel anything. You don't feel bad for the body. The body doesn't feel anything. The neshama's alive, right? The neshama never dies. The soul is alive. The neshama is alive every minute, forever. The neshama never dies. The neshama knows, and the neshama is alive every second. The neshama laughs with us and cries with us, and the neshama knows. So what rachmanis do I have? On the body, there's no rachmanis because the body is fafalim. Anyway, what's the big deal? It's a kichayim biyada yaitzer. It's some material. The body is finished. There's no rachmanis in the body. It's done. The neshama lepnach. The neshama is alive. So a human being doesn't have rachmanis on a dead person. And we don't daven for the dead to come back to life. But there's one who never forgets. Mechayim meisim b'rachamim rabim. The Bari Olam together with those parents is mechayim meisim b'rachamim rabim. There's an akuda of life in that child who has passed away. The kusta dechiyusa, the atzmus Yosef. We took Yosef Atzadik's bones with us when we left Mitzrayim. And from those bones, pocket Yifkel Lekim Eschem, from there came the redemption. Because Yosef Atzadik means that even after death, the one whose entire life was Oid Yosef Chai, was remembering. Oid Yosef Chai, to find any drop of life that's left and to bring it back and to make it a full-fledged life was Yosef Atzadik. Therefore we carried Yosef's bones. The dead Yosef Atzadik we carried through our years. Through the years in the Midrash, the Atzmus Yosef. And Atzmus Yosef was the promise and the guarantee that the one who's Mechayim Esim Rachim Rabim is going to bring the Jewish people back to life. And from the little bit of life that's left in the bones, the Rebbein Shalom builds a new life, is Mechayim Esim Rachim Rabim, because the Rebbein Shalom never, ever, ever forgets. Even David HaMelech closed his Tehillim. And all the Nashim Tzadkanyas close their Tehillims. And the Shuk is closed. And the market is shut. And the shutters are drawn. Everything is finished. The lights are out. And there are Tamudim. There are those who stay in the market who are still selling after some light, some candles, when it's already dark. Chanukah means that the belief in Tchias HaMeisim, the belief that after it looks like everything is finished and done and dark, that's exactly when Chanukah begins. Mechayim meisim b'rachamim rabim. And the Baruch Shalom, another minute, I'm sorry. And the Baruch Shalom's rachmanis extends even to those who are alive, but who are as if they're not alive. Because everybody knows that the Rishoyim, the wicked people, God forbid, Rishoyim, even when they're alive, they're called dead, right? So you have many people that the Rishoyim, there are many people who Allah Alayhi wa Rishayim, and people just say, forget, he's a Rasha. He's a Rasha. The Baruch Shalom always sees in each and every person, each and every one of us, he sees Epis, Akusta Dechiyusa. Like the Tamudim. After everything is closed and dark, and everything is dead, and it seems like it's a big base of Kvaris, and you look at this Jew and you say, ah, there's no hope for this person. Oh, but the Baruch Shalom sees in this person that Akusta Dechiyusa, that drop of life that's still left. And the Baruch Shem therefore is Mechai Mason Barach Mimradim to bring back. That's the Yontif of Chanukah. Our entire generation experienced Chias Mason. Because my parents and some of your parents or grandparents, that they came back. My father just said this, we had by the Chanukah thing we had the other day. My father was sitting there and he was looking at the grandchildren, the children, the grandchildren, the great grandchildren. And my father, even though he said this before, but at certain times my father just can't help himself, and he says that this is all to me. This is all a wonder. He says, "How is amazing! All these people in this room." My father's just looking around because we were supposed to be. It looked like we were dead. My father said, "I felt dead." My mother, they were dead. And the Baruch Shem is Mechai, Mesim, Rachim, and Rabim, our generation, which Rav Kook, Zechat Tzadav, Kosh Baruch, called the Dor HaTchiyah, the generation of Tchiyah, of coming back to life. But the Tzadik saw that in everything in Eretz Yisrael, in Yidden, in Jews. The Kusta, the Chiyusa, to bring back Oid Yosef Chai, Vayimorin L'Hesnachim, Ki Heim Chayenu, Veshalach L'Fnei Hashem, Barat Soyse Chayim, the belief that even though the dreidel seems to fall on the shin time after time, somehow at the end it's going to be a gimel. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's what Chanukah is. In the end, the last spin of the dreidel is a gimel. A gimel. Goyim l'chassad m'tayvim. Let me end with a story. And I'm sorry if I kept anybody too long. And some of you maybe heard this story from me. There's a story from Mendel Vizhnitzer. It takes a minute. But Mendel Vizhnitzer, when he was a young man, like many of the tzaddikim, he went disguised as a plain person, even worse, like a strange person. And he would go, as many tzaddikim did, he would go in galus to go around to see what Yidden are going through. He knew that he was going to have to be a big rabbi, a big tzaddik, and he wanted to feel what Jews were going through. And he looked strange, and he was acted in a way that was strange on purpose, whatever his cheshbon was. And when he would come places, he went like a beggar, and people gave him a few pennies. He came to there was one village that he came to. In that village, there was a little girl by the name of Rivka. You know the story? No? There was a little girl by the name of Rivka in this village. And when he would come to that village, he would go around to different people. He would go to that house, Rivka's house, and the parents would give him a couple of pennies, and they'd send him on his way. And the little girl that lived there, Rivka, she took a liking to this Mendel Vizhnitzer. And even though the parents would not allow him into the house because he looked unkempt and whatever, they wouldn't allow him in the house, little Rivka had in the backyard a toy table, a little toy chairs, and she would bring him a little kettle with tea. And he would sit, Mendel Vizhnitzer would sit on this little toy chair, and she would serve him. And this would happen every year, once a year, he would drive around the whole area, and he would come to that village. Rivka, Mendel, best friends, a little girl. He was a young man, and she would serve him. Finally, one year, Mendel visits and says, "Listen, Rivka, I'm not going to be able to come back anymore." It was time for him to go on, and he married a visionist daughter. It was time to move on, and I'm not going to be able to come back. But I'm never going to forget your kindness. I'm going to remember you always. Will you remember me? And Rivka said, "Mendel, how could I forget all the stories you told me and how we sang and we laughed? I'll never forget you." So he gave her a bracha, and he went. And he went on to become the famous tzaddik, Mendel Vizhnitzer. In the meantime, this little girl, Rivka, contracted polio. She became very, very sick over the years. She was very, very, very sick. She wasn't able to walk. And her parents took her to Vienna and to Prague, to all the best doctors, and they couldn't help her. And she would ask from time to time, "Could you take me? I want to go to my friend Mendela." Because I believe that the famous Rebbe, Mendel Vizhnitzer, that's my Mendela. And the parents said, "What are you, silly? That Michiganer that used to come here, the beggar, that's the Rebbe, with Mendel Vizhnitzer?" She says, "That's Mendela, that's my friend." She said, there's no matter. But she kept on asking, and finally the wife said to the husband, So why can't we go to Mendel Vizhnitzer anyway? So what? So what's wrong? He wasn't a believer in rabbis. But she said, "Why can't we go to the tzaddik for bracha?" All right. So they decided to take Rivka, who by now is around 17, 18 years old, to take Rivka to Reb Mendel Vizhinzer for a bracha. They didn't live far away. And that night, after Maariv, Reb Mendel Vizhinzer said to the goblin, I want you to go to town and find for me a toy table and two toy chairs and a little kettle. So listen, Gaborim are used to doing things, you know. You're not allowed to ask. But this was a new thing. And the Gabbai right away told the Oilam, something's going on here. And the Rebbe said to the Gabbai, there's a very chushiv guest, a very important guest that's coming tonight. Nobody sent him any letter. We have a chushiv guest coming. So the Gabbai went and he found it. He came back and the Rebbe told him, put it in the corner over there in the Smedrish. And the Rebbe went outside with hundreds of people and he's just standing there. Nobody knows for who, what. All of a sudden, the wagon pulls up, and they all see them, and the little girl screams out, Mendele! And the chassidim go, Mendele? A 17-year-old girl, Mendele. And the Rebbe Mendele Vishen says, Rivkele. And she says, you didn't forget me? And he said, I promised you. Remember we made a promise? I would never forget you. How could I forget your kindness? And he told the parents, help Rivkele come into the bring her into the besmeders. And they brought her into the Beis Medrash, and the Rebbe said to put her on the floor, and they put her on the floor. And Reb Mendel Vizhinzer went over to her and said, Rivka, you remember when you were little, you were strong and healthy, you remember how I would come and everybody made fun of me, but you were the only one that cared and used to put out the table and chairs and give me tea? So she said, of course I remember that. And everybody was crying. And the Rebbe told the Gabbai to bring over the table and chairs. And the Rebbe sat on the chair. And he said, okay, I'm ready. I want you to bring me the tea like you used to. And the parents were crying. Everybody was crying. And Rivka got up in front of hundreds of people. And she served that tea to another businesser. The story, the pnimis of the story is, M'chai Meisim Rachim Imaba. But the Baruch Shalom hasn't forgotten us. And we haven't forgotten him. It's been a long galus. And Vayimon Le'esnachem, we have been consoled. Oig Yosef Chai. For parents who have lost a child, a precious Tyre in the Shama. Vayimon Le'esnachem, with the kustu dechius of the point of life, is Oid Sarit Chaya. Azilepnach. A Machai Mason Brachim and Rabin. To bring back with great love and with great compassion is the Yontif of Chanukah, is that fire is lit on the Yontif of Chanukah. And we're Jews and we believe in that Bemunah Shleima. And when we believe Bemunah Shleima, we could already taste the taste of Rivka's tea. And we should be Zerichim as Hashem, not only to talk about it and to feel it and to believe in it and to think of it, to mamish, to drink from that Kaishal Bracha of Mashiach Zekein of Agula Hashem, Amitis and Tchias Amesim, Hem Yemen Amen.
Amen.